Hi everyone, my name's Steve Tudor and welcome to the Premier League Show. It's a show that thinks Real Madrid's Jude should shorten his surname and stick an end on there. On today's pod, we're spending the bare minimum of time discussing Wednesday evening because football waits for no man and Wembley is next. A thumping victory at the Etihad of the South and we can put our penalty misery to bed. Also this weekend, all of the bottom six play one another in three fixtures that will go a long way to deciding who drops and who survives. We'll be touching on each game, of course. And lastly, season ticket hikes are once again in the news. Do fans matter at all anymore, aside from a chunk of our salaries? There's a lot to get through, so let's get through it with my guest today, Chris. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm fine, mate. End of a very busy week, so I'm looking forward to the weekend. But yeah, all good. How about yourself?
Pretty much the same. Yeah, it's been a strange old week, and just looking forward to the weekend. FA Cup semi-final. I'm just hopelessly in love with the FA Cup, and we will get to this very shortly. Of course, the fact that Pep has played weakened teams in the past, and we've gone out at this stage, and it always really, it truly bothers me. So I just hope for this weekend. Of course, you know, fatigue's a factor of all the players who played against Real, but I just hope it's a strong lineup. And if we fall, we fall. But that's my big hope for this weekend. But we will come to that imminently. Before we do, we have to look back very quickly. It's been 3 days now to kind of assimilate your thoughts on Real Madrid Wednesday night. How do you process it? How have you processed it?
I tend to assimilate my thoughts quite quickly. Like it's a less frequent experience nowadays. But in the past, as soon as I would leave the ground, if we're playing at home, just as we're getting towards the end of the game, I start to process what the result means and I immediately start to look towards the following fixture or the following round or whatever it is. And so actually, when I left the ground, I don't know, it was I had a sense with other people in the ground, apart from the odd, you know, complaints about Bernardo's inexplicable penalty and De Bruyne's miss, you know, in the second half. But I generally, I was reasonably calm and I felt quite sort of accepting of it. But I'm very cognizant of the fact that a big factor in that was two things. First of all, I've experienced far more heartbreaking and games where we've gone out of the Champions League against Spurs, against Real Madrid twice, against Lyon. But also the key one is because we won it last year, that cushioned the disappointment really. And also, when it comes down to penalties, neither team has the ordained right to win the game. It then comes down to how the teams can navigate the tension and the anxiety with the penalty shootout. And so by the time it went to penalties, I'd already accepted, right, there's a 50% chance we're going to lose this. So when we lost it was disappointing. But I'm also aware of the fact that I'd started to quietly dream about a double treble, it's a dangerous pathway to go down. And if De Bruyne scores, I think we go through. But that just reinforces the fact the Champions League is so difficult to win because it's not about the form team necessarily. It's about who uses their luck in the best way and who can navigate over two legs in the best way. It's just one of those. But it's, as I say, if we hadn't won last year, I would be raging now. So I feel reasonably calm about it.
Do Real Madrid deserve praise for how they went about Wednesday night? Or is it one of those situations where, had they lost, they would deserve criticism for being far too cautious, but because it's worked, then now they deserve praise.
But doesn't that define what a risk is, Steve?
I suppose,
if it
works,
if it works, there's a thin line between abject failure and the illusion of genius. And if in Madrid's case it worked, but they were lucky. They were lucky it worked because De Bruyne could score a goal, or they could lose on penalties. So it is luck. So I'm not going to start promoting Ancelotti. We know what a great manager is, but I'm not going to say it's genius. Quite simply, is they had a game plan, and they just about got through it. And Madrid defended. very, very well. I'm not going to get all purist football fan, because we often will approach games to just get the result. So, yeah, it was one of those things. It could have gone either way, and that's the kind of... that's that sort of cold embrace of football, is that in games like this, for some of the highest stakes competitions in the Champions League, it's such a contradiction. The Champions League is that it's the highest profile, it's the highest stake European European league competition, and yet it's so easy to fall out of that. And often the team that wins the Champions League is not the best team in Europe. And which just is indicative of that competition strand. But yeah, Madrid came what, you know, they got what they came for. They could have easily left without it. And it's just the way football works.
Just one quick final question on this, because there's something I've been pondering over the last couple of days. Could City have done anything differently or better than they did? It's tricky, isn't it? It is.
Yeah, look... Lloyd mentioned this on the review. They did start slowly.
Yeah.
I thought they did look tentative. And I don't think anything about the formation with having Phil on the side, on the right-hand side, would have made a huge amount of difference. I think if we'd started with more urgency, then it's unlikely that Madrid score that first goal. And it's mainly because I was watching the game and when... the ball is hit high and Bellingham brings it down, I immediately thought he was offside. And I think that most of our defence thought the same thing. And all it takes is that half second of hesitation and you're down a gear. And I think we never recovered from that. But I think if we'd been slightly more high octane and forcing the issue more, similar to how we did last year, then I think that Madrid would have retreated further. As it was, I thought they were... Madrid in the first 20 minutes, half an hour, caught between a rock and a hard place. They didn't quite know whether to retreat all the way like they did in the second half and like they did in extra time. So they were caught in between two decisions. And I think if we'd been more emphatic with our approach and more forceful, we probably would have avoided conceding. But apart from that, we did what we... You know, we stuck to the plan. We were patient. And the level, the extent to which we stuck to the plan and stayed patient was exemplified in how exhausted the players were at the end of the 120 minutes. And Madrid are very good at defending. We know this. Like, you know, as much as Rudiger, like, just such a kind of, you know, that kind of player on a pitch who you want him on your side, but you hate playing against him. He's a remarkable defender, right? I was avoiding swearing in the first 15 minutes, man. But he's a remarkable defender. And when you've got Rudiger playing a low block, the chances are it will be successful. So no, all right, what should we have done differently? De Bruyne should have scored that effort, and Bernardo should have scored his penalty, and Kovacic should have scored his penalty. So it's kind of binary things. Apart from that, I saw the superior side play their way against a stubborn Madrid defence, and Madrid got lucky and they came out the winners. Apart from that, I have no complaint about what the players or what Guardiola did.
And of course, you know, I know it's obvious to say this, but had we scored a second, then Real come out, it's a completely different game and it could conceivably finish 3-1. So it is just basically breaking through that carapace that they just put across that 18-yard line. And they did it extremely well, as we said.
If De Bruyne scores that second goal, it's over.
Absolutely.
Because Madrid were already at that point flailing.
And they were shattered. They were looking
exhausted. And I think if De Bruyne scores that goal, then Madrid's spirit is completely quashed. And it's fine. But that, you know, of all the players you, to land to, you'd want it to be De Bruyne for him to side foot it in top bins. And he leans back and he skies it. So
I mean, I will say this. It was attack versus defence, like a training ground exercise, which is very unlike for Champions League at a quarter-final stage. So it's not the most entertaining to watch. I mean, for us Blues, it was just 120 minutes of pure frustration. But when you kind of step back from it, City against Real Madrid has produced some absolute firecracker games in recent years, some absolute classics. This one, maybe not such a classic to watch, but when you see the endeavour from both teams. I mean, they were both dead on their feet at the end. I mean, that speaks well, I think, for both sides.
I think what it speaks even more of is the tactical decision that Madrid took is indicative of how we're now viewed as a European heavyweight.
Unquestionably.
In that the mighty Real Madrid came to the Etihad to not lose when they knew they had to score more goals than us to if they had a chance of going through. Madrid were prepared to either one, sneak a counter attack and then hold, or two, go to the risk of penalties rather than play their normal game against us. That is a massive statement about where we are and how we're viewed. And so, but you know, we're probably the best team in Europe, and yet we've gone out of the quarterfinal stages. That tells you everything about the Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on to this weekend. Although, of course, the Real Madrid game has a huge impact on this weekend as regards to just how shattered the players were. Fatigue, I mean, we're talking 3 days, maybe 2 days rest, 1 day's training, straight back into it. Vast Wembley pitch against an informed Chelsea side in another big game. Pep has got to rest some players, hasn't he?
Well, I mean, you'd say yes, because De Bruyne looked dead on his feet. Haaland looked exhausted. Poor Rodri at the end. I mean, he could barely, because he kept coming out wide in the last 10 minutes, but he could barely put one step one foot in front of the other. I think Bernardo looked shattered as well, emotionally as well as physically shattered. I think my concern is this, is that we know at this point in the season that we have, if you're still in all competitions, that you know you're getting games every 3 or 4 days. And it's been evident from previous season that City's team, City's medical team and City's training team ensure that we try to reach peak condition at this pivotal point in the season. And when players go into the red zone, that's managed very, very carefully. Now, I've seen some narrative around about, look, just play a weakened team or play a second string, give key players a rest and focus just on the league. But I just don't know if I buy into that because on Wednesday afternoon, I said to a friend of mine, right, currently we are the favourites in 3 major competitions. And by Sunday morning, we might just be left in 1 competition. And I think the risk is if we go out to Chelsea, even though we can just focus on the league, I think it would have a detrimental impact on the team in regards that you go from 3 competitions to 1 competition in the space of 4 days. So what I want, where people like Pellegrini used to make a mistake, and Pep did in his early stages, was play a completely weakened side. What I hope he does is to find a balance. And that balance may be is that some of those key players from Wednesday get 60 minutes or they get 30 minutes. So they start and go off, or they don't start and they come on after 30 minutes, according to who he puts out. We know that we have some players who can deputise, but if you remove too much of the spine, we know that that is problematic. If you take out De Bruyne, Haaland, Rodri, Bernardo, maybe even Foden, you're going to get what you deserve, basically, because it's a risk strategy. So I'm hoping that Guardiola, guided by his medical team and guided by his coaches, can find a compromise where we still have 75% full strength team and then the other players can navigate around it. I just think it would be folly and disingenuous to say, look, we'll sacrifice the FA Cup because there's a chance of a double. And if we achieve a double after a remarkable treble season, it's an extraordinary achievement.
And it renders everything we've done in this competition to this point pointless. We may as well have gone out in the third round. I completely agree with you. And I think there will be 2 or 3 names dropped. I just don't want it to be like the 8 changes we saw against Arsenal 3 years ago. the six or seven changes we saw against Liverpool 2 years ago. I remember that lineup coming out just ahead of a Liverpool game, and every blue was incandescent on Twitter and on WhatsApp, etc., saying, we're just throwing this game away. And indeed, you know, we were 3-0 down at half time. So I just don't want it to be that. Sorry, I said Arsenal, I meant Chelsea 3 years ago, sorry.
Yeah, but do you think? That kind of happened against Arsenal in the semi. It happened against Liverpool, didn't it? As well. I mean, did you think to some extent that Guardiola's learnt a little bit?
I hope so.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.